And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Merry Christmas. Today, as we celebrate Christmas Day, the second holiest day of the year, second only to Easter, we recall that, of course, without the resurrection, there is no salvation. But without the incarnation and birth, there is no hope of the possibility of salvation. Christ is among us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This original language in the Hebrew is tabernacled. God tabernacled among us. It goes back to this idea of God pitching his tent among his people. In this time of the year, with wars still raging, Russia having bombed Ukraine on Christmas Day of all days, wars within our own families as we've been still recovering from Thanksgiving dinners and the tense political conversations that tend to come up and family dynamics that aren't exactly ideal, we're looking for a place of peace. We're looking for a sense of not being alone. It's interesting how we can be surrounded by people and still feel profoundly lonely, ignored, forgotten, unseen. And the good news of this Christmas Day reminds us that the greatest gift of Christmas is nothing but and nothing less than Jesus Christ. The gifts we have will eventually wear out and be of no good. The joy we experience opening our first gifts or encountering family members eventually wears out, and you're looking forward to them to go home. All the things that the world celebrates during this day, we are reminded year in and year out that they just simply do not satisfy. It's not enough. And it's not because you're greedy. It's because you're human. And the human person recognizes that we weren't made for things. We weren't even made for each other, though we need each other. We were made for him who made us for himself. And until we are with him, our hearts will never find rest. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God pitched his tent. In the book of Exodus, we hear about how the Israelites fled from slavery in Egypt and found their way through the Red Sea by God's miraculous act through the hand and staff of Moses. And now in the desert, God pitched his tent among them. It was the tent of encounter when Moses would go in and the Shekinah glory cloud would descend upon the tent. Moses would come out beaming after speaking to God face to face. The people were so taken aback by the glory of God on Moses' face that they made him cover his face. They would not look upon the tent. They feared death because it was clear that God was there and God was meeting with Moses. And wherever they went, God went. God pitched his tent among them and traveled with them throughout the desert. Ultimately, in the Ark of the Old Covenant, he enters into Jerusalem and into the temple led by King David. But this idea that God pitched his tent among his people meant to say that I'm with you. You're never alone. You don't need to go back to slavery. You belong here. You are my people. I am your God. I have freed you from slavery, and I call you to live as my sons and daughters. But time and again throughout the Old Testament, we see how the people fall back into their sin. The message then is even truer today. God tabernacles among his people. As Catholics who go to Mass every week, we know that Christmas is celebrated every time we go to Mass, because in the tabernacle behind me, Christ is literally present. It's the Ark of the New Covenant. It's not the manna that fed the people in the desert that was in the old Ark of the Covenant. It's not the Ten Commandments written on stone. It's not the staff of Moses. It's the literal Word of God made flesh in Jesus Christ under the humble appearance of bread and wine. The Good Shepherd, not Moses, but Christ himself, who leads us to life everlasting. And he dwells with us and in us in the Holy Eucharist. Catholics who know this always genuflect and make the sign of the cross, looking to the tabernacle before they sit down in the church, because they recognize that God has pitched his tent with us here. And in every Catholic church, wherever we go, he has become flesh and he dwells with us. Every time we go to Mass, we come home. We come home to the Father's embrace. We come home to the Father's love for us. We come home to the Christ child born in Bethlehem, humble, vulnerable, poor, cold, naked, nurtured by the breast of Mary, protected by the strong arm of Joseph. And he continues to be vulnerable and poor and humble and naked among us under the appearance of bread and wine that we know and profess and have always believed is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. Nothing less. It cannot be more. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that's the joy of Christmas Day. He is the greatest gift if we will accept Him. Because as John tells us, those who accept Him by keeping His commands become the sons and daughters of God. They become children of God. We know who we are now because we've accepted His love for us. And we know that it's not the gifts we receive, the people we are around, or the things we have that tell us who we are and what our dignity is. It is nothing less than the very love of God who has come to us. That's the joy of Christmas Day, to see the saving power of God in our midst under the humble appearance of bread and wine. The God who is King comes to you as a child born in Bethlehem, dependent upon His mother by choice, who is not God, to show us how, as Christians, depending on her just the same, we can see Him as He truly is, our Savior who has come to free us from the slavery of whatever binds us today, to free us from the war within and the war around us in our families and in our world. It's a message of peace. We did not sing the Gloria throughout Advent, except for the major solemnities we celebrated, so as to celebrate it anew and sing it anew today with the angels who sang it for the first time, announcing His birth to the shepherds, the poor, the forgotten. Those given the most difficult jobs and the most thankless jobs were the ones to whom the angels went to announce His birth first. Among the poor, the forgotten, the seemingly insignificant, God says, "You are important to Me. You matter. You're more important than any king or powerful ruler. And to you I bring this good news that your God has come to you, not in power and majesty, riding on a horse, but humbly born in a stable in Bethlehem. Come, let us worship." Because the joy of this Christmas is not the gifts under the tree or even the gathering of our families. It is the fact that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And He's here, even now, in every tabernacle of every Catholic church throughout the world. Every day, we're never alone again. And He reminds us that we were made in love, for love, and we belong to Him. Merry Christmas.